Morning again. I feel like I'm having the opening and the main message today. But it was been really a blessing to be here this morning already and be inspired by the Word of God, by the songs we've been singing. And so I was just, been real blessed already this morning, just getting up and meditating on the Word and thinking about my message. The message today is for me. I've failed in this. And I figure maybe if I preach this message and I can hear myself preach it, it'll help me in the days to come. I failed at this here some years ago in a very bad way. I seen it and I repented of it. And then last week I felt a little bit of it again and I seen it and I repented of it again. And my desire is that I could trust in the Lord just as we got done singing the song and lean on Him. And even if we don't understand everything at times, and so it's very important. So maybe before we begin, why don't we all rise and we'll start with a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning, thankful and grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, again for being with us here today. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. And Lord, as I'm standing here, I think of James and I see his situation. And sometimes, Lord, we think certain situations are hopeless. But we do know that you're an almighty God and you're an all-knowing God. And things aren't hopeless. And we think of Joseph in the Bible, and we think of how hopeless that looked for him at times, and yet it wasn't hopeless. So I just pray this morning for James. I pray, Lord, as he has desire to have a better walk, a better relationship and a closer walk with you and being born again, Lord. And then we think of all the bondages. We know, Lord, you can release him out of all the bondages he's in. And I just pray, Lord, that he could just see it and repent and humble himself before you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we look at the message here today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we're willing to open up our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we could just search our own hearts on this message, Lord, and that we're willing to humble ourselves if we're caught up with this, Lord. Help us, Lord. We need you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just be here with us to guide and direct us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This morning the message is on, it could be a two-part message, but I'm going to be preaching on offenses, offended, the key of not being offended. So there's an offender and then people that take the offense. And I'd like to focus more on not being offended. And what we have to do to not be offended, or maybe why it's that we do become offended, and maybe talk about this a little bit and look at the Word of God in this. But I'm going to start out with a few questions this morning. How many of us in here have ever been offended? I see a lot of hands going up. I think probably all of us have been offended at times. And then the question is, how did we deal with offenses? When we are offended, how did we deal with it? Or could I say this, or did we never deal with it? Have we never really dealt with it? So I'm going to look at different scriptures here. I'm going to turn to Psalms 119. Start out with some scriptures there. And Psalms 119, 161. And we want to look at this here, some of these scriptures here. And then how would we have responded to this? Here it says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." So he's saying the princes have persecuted me without a cause. But notice the next word. It says, but. It says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. So here he was persecuted without cause, but his heart standeth in awe of thy word. Then it goes on and says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. We could say great wealth. He's rejoicing. Here he got persecuted for no cause, and yet he's rejoicing at thy word as one that findeth great spoil, which is wealth. I hate and abhor lying. Here he's acknowledging. He hates and he abhors lying. But then he goes on and says, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why is it so important that we're not offended, or when offenses come, so we don't stumble? In Isaiah 26, get 7 verses there, starting in verse 1. In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for the walls and the bulwarks, which is trenches. This here is a song of victory. And then it goes on, and it says there's an access. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Let's read that again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now here it talks about the pride, and then it talks about humility, being humble. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the proud. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprighteous. Thus, most upright does wade the path of the just. So I'm going to give the definition of offend. This is not the part I'm going to be talking about today, but the offend. If it's offend means it's a stumbling block. It's an obstacle, enticement, cause to fall, or a cause to ruin, or a cause to injure, or a cause to hurt, or a cause to damage. Or could we say a cause to sin? Now, if we look at feeling offended, it often involves an experience of negative emotions caused by a word or an action, which is in conflict with what we expect and believe to be the right, appropriate, moral, and acceptable behavior. That is when we're offended. And we know since the beginning of Adam's race, man has dug themselves into mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritual pits. Since the beginning of Adam's race. So they keep digging, men have keep digging and digging and digging. And that's what happens if we get offended and we don't repent of it. And we don't trust in the Lord. We start digging ourselves into a mental, emotional, and spiritual pits. We fence ourselves in, like into a prison, into habits, ruts, and bondages, and evil passions. And I can tell you this out of experience. If we don't deal with offenses, it's a downward spiral. We pick up one offense and we don't deal with it. Then we pick up another offense and we don't deal with it. And this just keeps going, and all at once it's just a downward spiral. And if we think of habits, so someone offends us, and then we get into this habit of thinking negative. Whenever anything happens, we think negative. And maybe even unrelated to the initial instance, something happens, we're in a habit of thinking negative. And finally, we get ourselves into this rut. And seems we can't get ourselves out of this rut. And we get ourselves into a bondage. And we end up having evil passions. And if we think of ruts, we keep walking the same path, back and forth, back and forth. Our mind thinks the same thing, back and forth, back and forth. We think of ruts. We wear ruts in our mind. I remember back when I was 7th and 8th grade, probably. I got a job at a local dairy farmer during the summer. And one of my jobs was to go after the dairy cows. And so I remember, I can still picture this. So they left the barn and they went through this not so nice field. It was a lot of weeds and brush in it. And then they walked on back through the woods, and they walked back into a nice field where they spend a lot of time during the day. But whenever they got thirsty, they'd come over to the field that wasn't so nice, and they'd drink water. And then they'd come from there, they'd come up to the barn to get milked. So these cows had deep ruts. And why were those ruts there? Because they walked these paths day after day after day. If you let those cows out, they were not going to change their pattern. That's the path they were going to take day after day after day. And I believe that's where we can find ourselves in. We get into these habits and we get into these ruts. And it seems we just keep walking and walking and back and forth in these ruts and these habits. And we get into these bondages. And you know, there's times where we think we just don't know, or we cannot figure out how to escape or how to get out of these bondages. So I'd like to read a couple stories, about three different stories here. Maybe some of us can relate some of this. My desire here is today, if we're caught up in this, let's talk. That's what I have to do. I have to talk. I have to share. Other people are different. They don't want to talk. But if we went out of this bondage, if we went out of these ruts and habits, here's the first story. Here's a story about a boy who tried out a little league baseball team. He and several of his friends were trying out for the same position. And they were all three were very qualified. So the three boys, they wanted the same position of the baseball team. And they were all qualified. When the coach had to make a difficult choice, the boy was not chosen. He was devastated and unable to cope with the feelings of rejection and failure. He responded to this and other life situations was forming a behavior pattern that would end up in suicide attempts and a time in mental hospital later on in life. Mentally, emotional problems began with the wrong response pattern. All because of a position in a baseball game. He started this pattern with wrong response. The young man hardened himself against his coach and teammate. He lost his friends. He was probably friends to the coach, it doesn't say. Was friends to his friends. Probably no longer friends. I don't know. But the young man hardened himself against his coach and teammates. As he grew older, the same behavior pattern continued when life did not go his way. In married life, he was unable to cope with any irritations or infractions. Nor did he do any better on the job or with his boss. All of these inner conflicts and guilt for living with another woman led him to suicide attempts. This poor man had been digging himself deeper and deeper into his own pit and prison of selfishness and self-centeredness for years. Probably was quite unaware of the numerous laws of the kingdom of God he had been violating. When God's laws are violated, the laws of life are violated. This young boy was offended, and he took the wrong path. Instead of recognizing it, he took the wrong path. Now I'm going to read another story. Children, how many of you in here know what a wolf is? You know what a wolf is? Looks like a dog. They're just bigger. And they run out in the wild. We don't have any wolves around here, but out west they do. In Canada they do. They're a very wild, timid. Yet they can be very aggressive. So I have a story on some wolves here. A mother wolf had a litter of pups that were kept in a small pen for 4 years. How many of you in here are 4 years old? 4 years old. I see some four-year-olds here. So here are the mama wolf had a litter of pups. And they were kept in a pen for 4 years. They were born in captivity and never went anywhere outside the confinement of a 10 by 10 cage. It was just about this size cage. That's where they were confined in. They were born in that cage. And they were kept in that cage for 4 years. One day the researcher opened the cage door. Remarkably, the wolves were afraid to go out. Each day they sheepishly took a few steps farther outside the security of the cage they had lived in all their lives. Eventually they gained confidence and their minds was reprogrammed enough to live normal lives. It took many new steps to gain the freedom and life and normalcy. The wolves could have stayed in the cage for the rest of their life with the gates wide open. They could have just stayed in there the rest of their life. The gate was right open. The analogy of the truth is true for men too. Even when the prison door is open, men must take many steps out to gain reorientation into a normal life. And every step a man takes downward in a pit must be reclaimed with an effort by climbing uphill to get out of it. It takes effort and desire to get out of a pit. We can't just sit back, and we'll talk about that a little bit later here. One more story. A certain woman went to her pastor for counsel on several occasions. The lady said to the pastor, "Pastor, I would like to have counseling sessions with you for 1 hour per week." The godly pastor looked at her and replied, "No, sister." "But why not, pastor?" responded the perplexed woman. "Because you will only repeat the same issues to me, and I will give you the same answers." This is what most counseling sessions come to. Then he exhorted the woman, saying, "Unless you get a hold of God yourself, nothing is going to change. This is the point. We cannot expect the minister or evangelist to get us out of all our bondages. We have to take steps of our own towards freedom, or we will remain in prison. To receive prison from our bondage requires much effort, prayer, and many steps of obedience. To help illustrate the point, it is like a set of scales or balances. On one side is a heavy bondage, and on the other, on the light side. Each time we pray and obey what God is telling us to do, we are putting a little more weight on the light side. Often it will seem like absolutely nothing is happening. But each time we're adding a little more weight to our side. As we continue faithfully seeking God and not give up, there will come a day when the balance will fall on our side. We will have master over the bondage. So don't give up. We don't want to give up. If we're in a pit, Iva could share her testimony of what happens to be caught in that trap. And how hopeless it feels. and watch the steps she had to take to get out of the... And it was a fight. So don't give up. I'm going to read a scripture here, a verse here, or some verses here in Luke. Luke chapter 18. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end. And the man ought always to pray and not to faint. We don't want to be weary. We ought always be praying and not to faint. Saying there was, talks about a man and a woman. This man was not a godly man. There was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And this is what the Lord said. Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he be bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So we don't want to give up. We want to continue in prayer, and Paul commands us to fight the good fight of faith. And if we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. It says, lay hold of eternal life. And it says, thereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept thy faith, the faith. So we want to keep on fighting. So we can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Let's fight and don't give up. You know, the greatest battle and problem is close at home. It lies within ourselves. It is the very center of our being. Mark 7 talks about that. I'm just going to turn to Mark 7, verse 20 to 23. And he says, that which cometh out of the man that defileth a man, from within, out of the heart of man, possesses evil thoughts, adulterous, fornication, murders, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So it's the very center of our being. And the power of habit usually is in the love for it. If we get into a power of habit, it is because we love that habit. Until we change our desires, it will be no lasting gain and deliverance. You know, bondages always come back when they're fed. If we feed a bondage, they will come back. We used to have, some years ago, this cat showed up at our house, and she was a wild cat. I'd get in the barn, and I'd get in there. She'd run up the walls to try to get away, and so Iva started feeding this cat. And over the time, the cat got tame. Got really fairly tame. The type of cats I like. It wasn't a nuisance, and yet it was tame. And it was the best mouser we ever had. Caught moles and everything it could catch. And it was just a blessing to have around. But if we leave for a week or 2 weeks, we get back home and No one was feeding her. The cat was gone. And usually after a week or so, the cat would show up again, and then it would leave, and then it would show up, and then because we kept feeding it, it would stay. And this happened for a number of years. And so, when we went for Texas, we were home. After 3 months, we were gone. We got home, and she had some kittens there in our barn. The neighbor did feed her some. But when we got home, the kittens were fairly grown, and there's a number of them there. And now we started feeding the cat, and I think she was offended that we had left her that long. We started feeding her, it wasn't long, she started disappearing, and then she'd show up for a day or two, and she'd disappear again. And one day she showed up and took all her kittens but one. Was gone for, I think, a couple weeks. And then she'd come back and got that kitten, and that's the last we ever seen her. I don't know what was happening, what exactly happened, but I had to think, isn't that how we respond? We get offended. And if we're offended bad enough, even if people come to us and try to fix it, we don't want no part of it. You hurt me. You ruined my reputation. You set false accusations. Thinking back some years ago when I was really offended, it took me down. And I kept feeding on the thoughts. And then that offense, I picked up another offense, small offenses. And it was miserable till I recognized it. And I had to repent of my sins. What we happily practice, we become addicted to. God must deal with the evil, with our evil desires. And Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what is the symptom of self-centeredness? I think one of the symptoms of self-centeredness is being easily hurt and offended. Have we ever been around people that you have to kind of tread softly because they're so easily hurt and offended? You have to be careful what you say, what you do. The symptom of self-centeredness is holding grudges and other conflicts. But you might be sitting here today and say, Joe, but you just don't understand. I do understand. What I went through as a young 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, and things that happened back then, statistics should say I should be holding grudges, unforgiveness. I could have turned out like that boy that was trying for a baseball game. Things happen. Bad things happen. Then I ended up going, of course, starting school. And I had a hard time learning in school. And then second grade, I didn't pass. And my life was just, and to me, I was going to a public school. And then my brother ended up in the same class as I. And all those things just hurt. And the things before, what happened before that aren't even, I couldn't even talk about here. It wouldn't be fitting. And so now I had to take special classes. I had to leave my classroom and go take special classes. It was just another thing on top of me. And then I got called a name I just literally despised and hated at school. My dad didn't understand me. Brought homework home. I couldn't learn. I honestly tried. I couldn't get it. I still can't do multiplications. I don't know if I can say the ABCs all the way through. I'm here to open up my heart. If there's anyone like that here, just accept it. It's okay. The Lord will show you the way. My dad didn't understand me. I got a many a spanking. My dad was so upset. My dad was a grade A student. In fact, he didn't even study, and he did a CED without studying and passed. And he didn't understand, and it just took me in deeper and deeper. I tried to make friends. I didn't fit in anywhere. But here I am today by the grace of God. I am who I am by the grace of God. So I do understand some of these things. Pride resists God. Pride is at the root of all sins. Why? Because self is put upon the throne. Pride cannot be tolerated to be crossed. Pride is easily offended and assaulted easily. This sets off evil passions such as grudges and bitterness. Pride is the source of most torments. Pride never allows man to rest. And we could go to Matthew 11. I'll leave it. Verse 28 to 30. Pride is the reason men and women harden their hearts. A proud person is easily hurt and offended when he is not treated just so. Pride is a major cause of the lack of peace. Pride cannot let go of offenses. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the need to learn to pass over an offense. I remember some years ago, Justin's dad told me, if you feel this heat rising from down below and starting to rise up in you, he said, just let it go on up top and give it to God. Instead of keeping it and bottling that up, someone offended us, someone hurt us, someone said something false against us, someone accuses us falsely, and we feel something rising up within us, let's just give it to God. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. We pass it on. We give it to God. A proud person demands justice for himself. Pride demands an apology for an offense. And you know, pride makes it hard for the offender to apologize. And pride dwells on hurts. I am hurt, and I let everyone know that I'm hurt. Pride is a source of revenge. Is there any wonder why God resists the proud? Pride resists him. Now let's talk about the key to not being offended. It is not the lamb who became offended and bitter, but lords. But lords. The man of humility, whose spirit is mellow and broken, is never the offended brother or sister. Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Could say their discord or strife are like the bars of a castle. The offended brother or sister has an inflated ego that has been wounded. Listen to this. Grace has been refused, and he has hardened his heart and then become bitter. Grace is refused. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have to come boldly before the throne of God when we're in need to get help. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So it affects not just us, but it affects other people too. An offended brother or sister that harbors an offense and puts himself into a deep pit, he cannot or she cannot be won over. He will not accept apology or anything else until he has had a meeting with God. We need to have a meeting with God. Let's look at Jesus' own words. Matthew 24, verse 10. And there shall be many offenses, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. It is a very serious matter to allow the heart to be overgrown with offenses. It is a very serious matter to allow the heart to be overgrown with offenses. We wander around like being in fog. Here, some couple weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I forget. One morning, I was asked to escort, I believe it was for Simon, Brother Simon here. And I pull out, I wake up, I look out the window, and there was just this thick fog. The visibility was blurred. You couldn't see very far. And it was gloomy. It wasn't like the other mornings where the sun was shining. It was drab. It was dreary. It was gloomy. Visibility was blurred. Couldn't see very far. And I got into my vehicle and I pulled out of my drive, and those who've been at our place know it can be a little bit of a dangerous place to pull out, a lot of traffic. And it was hard to see. I was tense. I was like, is anything coming? How do I know? I couldn't see. It was a blur. And I pulled out. There was nothing coming. And I was driving. I could barely see. I couldn't go very fast. It was dreary. My thoughts were, how are we going to escort a 14 or 16 wide building legally this way? Because it was so drab and it was hard to see. And as I was going up the hill near Newcastle, the sun was out and shining. Boom, just like that. And I believe that's where we can be if we're offended. We're walking around in a fog. It's depressing. It's dark. We don't see clear. But if we start climbing up out of that, all at once, the sun will be shining. Things will feel clear, bright, and encouraging. If we let the grace of God work in our hearts. Another thing we do if we're offended, we defend our ways. We demand revenge. Do we know what one of the biggest deceptions of a wounded person is? They believe they have the right to be offended. They believe they have the right to be offended. This brother, this sister said this or did that. And in our hearts, we believe They trespassed. They trespassed against us. And in our hearts, we believe we have the right to feel bad about the person. We wouldn't say that, but in our hearts. And that's a lie. It's a deception. The way out of the pit is to become a lamb, to surrender our rights. I had to think of Otto Konings, and we probably know the pineapple story, how he had to surrender his rights. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting verse 20. For the glory is it when we be buffeted with rapt or hit. Now imagine this, if we're hit, whap. For what glory is it if when we be buffeted, hit, for your faults, you shall take it, what? Patiently. You shall take it patiently. But if when we do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. How many of us in here has ever been hit by a brother? Whap! I don't think any of us would been ever was hit. I don't know. But how? What if Brother Sill would walk up here and I did something wrong. He just hit me on the face. How would I respond? For what glory is it if when we be buffeted, hit with a fist, for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Let's look at this. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges rightly. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let's look to Jesus. He's our perfect example. We're offended. Let's think of the offenses Jesus could have picked up. A lot of people are banned from heaven because of offenses. Why is that? They reject God's grace when they were hurt. They died holding bitterness in their heart, and they refused to forgive. Our salvation depends upon forgiving others. And we know what it says in Matthew 6. If we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. It's that serious. True strength. What is true strength? A way to measure strength. Strength is an ability to cope with criticism, rejection, and reproach. Jesus warned that offenses must come. And all of us in here will be tested sooner or later. Sometimes something unfair is going to cross our path. We're all going to be tested sooner or later. It could be another Christian or a brother or sister in church. Will we be offended is the question. Will we close our heart and walk away from God, the Lord? Will we refuse that grace that is available to us? Will we turn sour? Will we cease to press on wholeheartedly? Will we do all these things above because of the cherished offense? If offenses come, let us ask God for special grace to not accept that offense. I believe we have to go to God and ask for special grace that we don't accept that offense. And we don't dwell on that offense. And we can forgive that brother or sister or whoever it was. when a stone of stumbling is thrown our way, it is a sensible and a Christian thing to refuse to stub our toes on it and to stumble. Such stones can be stepped over or walked around. I wrote down here, it is foolish for us to insist on stubbing our toe just because there is a stumbling block in our path. Let us not wrap our souls with any unforgiveness. Sooner or later, we will have the opportunity to make a choice when offenses come, to mold our character, to be more holy. What a testimony to the world if we refuse to hold any grudges. Now let's imagine this. Imagine Christ saying on the cross, I have been wronged. I was treated unfair. Let's think about it. He was despised. He was rejected. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was spit on. And he was wronged. And yet he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. It says, and nothing shall offend them. The question is, will we pass the test? We cannot let any anger remain in our heart. We need to walk in humility. I will lay down all my rights. I will search my own attitude. And I will remember pride defense. Godly wisdom is willing to yield. The Holy Spirit needs to be our power. I will rid my heart of bad feelings towards others. The love of God is the key to true freedom from any offenses. The love of God in our heart is the key to true freedom from picking up any offenses. And let's not forget, the grace of God is available. God wants to walk us through. He wants to take us through these hard times. And if we fail, we have to repent. We have to get back up and start walking again. And God wants to help us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to help us get rid of those bad habits, those evil thoughts, thoughts of unforgiveness. He wants to get us out of these ruts. He wants to get us out of these bondages. See, once we're in this thinking pattern, sometimes it seems it's so hard to get out of it. But God's grace is available. And God wants to direct us. He wants to walk us through it and help us. So Lord, help us. Lord, help me when I face the next offense that I remember this message, that the grace of God is available to help me through and not pick up and cherish that offense. May the Lord bless you.